Jesus was more than just another man, and Skip Heitzik says that one only has to look at the claims he made to see that.
Jesus made such incredible claims no one else made. Confucius never claimed to be God. Buddha never said, I am the only way, the truth, and the life. Muhammad and the others never made the kind of claims that Jesus made. Now, given his claims, there's no way, according to C.S. Lewis, and we've quoted this to you before, there's no way, given the claims of Christ, that you could ever say Jesus was a good guy, a fine example, a wonderful teacher.
Make the connection. Study the Word of God and find the way into His love. And take the time to read, for Jesus took the time to bleed for our sins. Whoa.
The classic Alfred Hitchcock film, North by Northwest, is all about mistaken identity. Because Cary Grant's character gets mistaken for someone else, he ends up going on an adventure that eventually leads him to climbing Mount Rushmore. Mistaking Jesus for someone other than who he really is can also lead us to unusual and at times dangerous places as well. And that's why it's so important for us to know exactly who he is and why we believe that. And we'll take a closer look at what the Bible reveals about the true identity of Christ today here on The Connection with Skip Heitzik. But one of the best ways to do that is just to spend some time studying the Bible. And here's a little something to help you do that this summer.
When you go to the pool or beach during the summer, it doesn't do much good to inflate that inner tube if you aren't going to get into the water. It also doesn't make much sense to go to church each week and learn about having faith in God if you aren't going to put that faith to work in your daily life. Live Faithfully is a study through the book of James that teaches the practical applications of the Christian faith. Lenya Heitzig and Penny Rose explore how James encourages us to put what we learn in church to practical use every day. Get a copy of the Bible study, Live Faithfully, for just $15 when you call 1-800-922-1888 or when you visit connectionradio.org. And when you order, we'll also send you Lenya's teaching, Mature Faith, on CD. Learn how practical faith can be. Get the Live Faithfully study and the Mature Faith CD for just $15 when you call 1-800-922-1888.
You know, it is important to get Jesus' identity right because so much hinges on it. To confuse him for anyone other than who he really is will only lead to trouble, kind of like in a Hitchcock film. So is there any way for us to know for sure who Jesus really is? That's what we'll find out in today's study.
And make the connection at the foot of the cross. And study the Word of God and find the way into His love. Make the connection.
We'll be in John 8 to start off today, so open your Bibles, and as you do so, we'll join Skip Heitzik as he continues our study of who Jesus really is.
John 8. They answered and said to him, Abraham is our father. Jesus said to them, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me, a man who has told you the truth, which I heard from God. Abraham did not do this. You do the deeds of your father, which he will later on say is the devil. Notice their response. Then they said to him, we were not born of fornication. We have one father, God. That is a slur. We have another word in English for it, which I won't say. You know what it is. An illegitimate child. You see, they knew all about the betrothal of his mother Mary to Joseph and that she turned up pregnant before they were ever married and that Joseph wasn't his real father. And so they're saying, what right do you have? You're not even legitimate in birth. And you're lecturing us, leaders, sons of Abraham. Go back to chapter 7. John 7. Verse 12, And there was much complaining among the people concerning Jesus. Some said, he is good. That's what people said of him. He's good. Agathos. He's a good, upstanding, fine, honorable person. That's what the word means. He's a good person. Now, you ought to know something, that when Jesus began his ministry, just about everyone thought he was good. Even the Pharisees in Jerusalem, the leadership who now is against him, all of them thought Jesus was a good guy. Nicodemus said, we know that you are a teacher come from God. Nobody can do the things you do unless God is with him. So he began with this reputation, and still there's people who are saying, oh, he's good. Nothing wrong with Jesus. This is, I find, the most common belief that people have of Christ today. This is the most common American belief about Jesus. He is a good man, nothing more, spoke great words. He's a fine example. He was a wonderful teacher. He spoke to his generation, but that's it. He was just a good guy. Even the German rationalist Strauss said of Jesus that he is the highest model of religion. Renan, the French atheist, even paid a compliment to Christ when he said Jesus was the greatest among the sons of men. But look in the same verse, we have a sixth belief about Jesus. Some said he is good, others said no. On the contrary, he deceives the people. Some said he was good, and then in the same conversation, there's a group of people saying, no, he's a deceiver. The word deceives the people means he causes people to fall away from the truth and wander into error and sin. It's a very strong word. The Jewish Talmud describes Jesus Christ as being the illegitimate son of Mary, whom they fancy for some reason was a hairdresser. Jesus was called Panthera by some. Jesus learned the magical arts while in Egypt and instigated a rebellion. That's his description, a deceiver. That was the accusation they brought to Pontius Pilate after the resurrection. The chief priests and Pharisees said to Pilate, sir, we remember that while he was still alive, that deceiver said, after 3 days I will rise again. When they wanted to have him crucified, their accusation in Luke 23, we found this fellow perverting the nation, forbidding to pay taxes to Caesar, and saying that he himself is Christ, a king. Well, what a gamut, man. What a variety of opinion. John the Baptist, Elijah, Jeremiah, one of the prophets, a good guy, bad guy, deceiver. There is a group called the Jesus Seminar. I'm sure you've heard of them by now. That's a group of guys, gals that meet together in Arizona twice a year, and they decide all on their own what words of Jesus he really said. They vote on them. They vote on them as they're immersed in their scholarship. And there was an article in Time magazine some time back where they said of Jesus, quote, he may have been a carpenter, probably he was illiterate. He belonged to a low caste of artisans. He didn't preach salvation from sin through sacrifice. He never cured any diseases. As for the other miracles, no loaves and fishes, no water into wine, no raising of Lazarus from the dead, and certainly no resurrection for himself. It's all deception, in other words. Now, I want you to hear those accusations once again. Some said he's an illegitimate child, he is a deceiver, and he's a pervert. He perverts the nation. Talk about having accusations, misunderstood ideas about you leveled against you. Now, why am I spending time on that? For this reason. Because some of you right now, tonight, are in the midst of a situation where you feel terribly mismarked, misunderstood, accused. People you love, people you know, they're saying things about you. You've tried to no avail. You need to know you are not alone. Your Savior, not everybody said, good guy, prophet, Elijah, but a deceiver, one who perverts the nation. All in fulfillment of Scripture, Isaiah said, he is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. There's one final one, John chapter 7, look at verse 19. Jesus is speaking, "Did not Moses give you the law, yet none of you keeps the law? Why do you seek to kill me?" The people answered and said, "You have a demon." Can you imagine saying that to Jesus Christ? "You have a demon who is seeking to kill you." Jesus answered and said to them, "I did one work and you all marvel." You ought to know that the ancient Jews relegated any abnormal behavior to them as demon possession. If it was weird or eccentric, they would say, "He's demon possessed." In other words, he's nuts. And he's nuts. He's a madman because he's demonized. That was their superstition. By the way, it wasn't just these guys. Did you know his own family thought he was a madman? His mom, his brothers, when they came to get him because he was so busy and he couldn't eat, it says when his family heard what was happening, they tried to take him home with them. "He's out of his mind," they said. So, there's the opinions of Jesus, everything from a good man to a con man to a madman, running the gamut. I found one final thing that I'm not going to include in a special category, but speaking of madmen, there's a guy who wrote a book. He's a Semitic scholar. John Allegro is his name. And the name of the book is The Sacred Mushroom and the Cross. I know it's a weird sound because it's a weird book based on a very weird premise that Jesus Christ wasn't historical at all. Jesus Christ was a code name for an hallucinogenic mushroom taken by the first century Christians. Puts a whole new spin on evangelism, doesn't it? "Dude, you want some Jesus?" See, there are as many opinions of Jesus as there are people, it seems. But it's always important to ask Jesus what he said about himself. What are the claims of Jesus? Now, this is important because once you look at them, you rule out so many of the other opinions. Jesus made such incredible claims no one else made. Confucius never claimed to be God. Buddha never said, "I am the only way, the truth, and the life." Muhammad and the others never made the kind of claims that Jesus made. Now, given his claims, there's no way, according to C.S. Lewis, and we've quoted this to you before, there's no way, given the claims of Christ, that you could ever say Jesus was a good guy, a fine example, a wonderful teacher. C.S. Lewis says, and by the way, he was a once agnostic professor of Renaissance literature at Cambridge University, converted to Christianity. He said, quote, "A man who was merely a man and said the sort of things Jesus said wouldn't be a great moral teacher. He'd either be a lunatic on the level of a man who says he's a poached egg, or else he'd be the devil of hell. You must make your choice. Either this man was and is the Son of God, or else a madman or something worse." Do you ever, 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 in reading the New Testament, recall Jesus saying something like, "I just want you to know I'm a fine, wonderful example, and a good moral teacher, and a nice guy, and people like me"? No! Here's a sampling of his claims. To the Samaritan woman, he said, "Whoever drinks of this water will thirst again, but whoever drinks of the water that I shall give will never thirst." To the crowds in John 6, Jesus said, "I am the bread of life. Anyone who eats of this will live forever." To the leaders in John 8, Jesus said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness." In John 8, again to the leaders, "I am from above. You are from below. I am not of this world." And in the same chapter, "Before Abraham existed or was, I existed or I am." John 10, he said, "I am the door. Those who come in through me will be saved." John 11, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, even though he dies, yet shall he live." In John 14, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Same chapter to Philip, he said, "Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. And in John 18, to Pontius Pilate, he said, you say that I am a king, and you're right. For this reason, for this purpose, I was born. So put them all together, just this sampling. What does Jesus claim about himself? Well, he says he's the quencher of thirst, satisfier of hunger, light of the world, that he's from heaven, that he predates Abraham, that he's the door of salvation, that he's the exact representation of his Father, and that he is the king. A good man won't say those things about himself unless they're true. And he's not just a good man. A madman wouldn't live like Jesus lived, serving and loving and pouring out himself for people's salvation. And a con man wouldn't suffer the ignominious death and suffering of a Roman cross. Those are the claims of Christ. So you got seven opinions in the New Testament about who Jesus is, all of them wrong. Then you got the claims of Jesus Christ. Oh, P.S., thousands of people, millions of people for thousands of years have trusted in Jesus Christ, and they have a uniform testimony that he changes their lives and forgives their sins. There must be something to those claims after all. Go back to Matthew. We'll close this up. That is the identity of Christ and according to others. But he presses it further to something more essential than even that. He said in verse 15, but who do you say that I am? Oh, now it's personal. Forget about others. Forget about third person standoffish. I'm not aloof anymore. Take that off the theological shelf. Personalize it. What is your Christology, disciples? Who do you say that I am? And Peter answered and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said to him, blessed are you, Simon Barjona. Flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. In other words, you get an A, Peter. You're right. Blessed are you. Right on, man. You got it. I am personally glad that of all the disciples there, Peter got it right. Because you know what? Peter has been the object of scorn by so many people for so long, and in some cases rightly so, but maybe we're a little overboard. I think that in heaven there's probably going to be a long line of preachers waiting to apologize to Peter for all the things they've said about him, perhaps. Of all the guys, Peter got it right. All these seven opinions have been wrong. Jesus says, Peter, you're right. You got it right. You are the Christ, Peter said. Now, I probably don't have to tell you this, but in case you don't know, Christ isn't his last name. Some people think it is. Jesus, that's his first name. Christ, that's his last name. He lived at the Christ house. That was the family name. It wasn't. It's a Greek word, a rendering for the Hebrew Mashiach. He is the Messiah. You are the Christ. From an earthly Jewish perspective, you are the Redeemer we've always hoped for. But from a heavenly divine perspective, you are the Son of God. Not a Son of God. Not a child of God among many. The unique Son of God. Now I'm asking you, as we close, to make it personal. Is Jesus Christ your Redeemer Messiah? Is he your hope, personally? Or is he just your parents' redeemer, your parents' and grandparents' hope, your girlfriend's redeemer? You see, the first question anybody can answer, what are people's opinions? Oh, you can add to that, but who do you say that he is? Now, that's the question, and I close with a warning. It's not written here, but I'll tell you why this question is so essential. From Jesus' own lips to the leaders of Jerusalem in John chapter 8, Jesus said, for if you do not believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. John chapter 3, He who believes in him is not condemned. He who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Do you see then that answering that question, that issue, is the most essential life issue? Who is Jesus Christ to you? Because if you don't believe he is who he said he is, let me tell you something. You will die in your sin. I know it's not preached about much, but there is a hell that is eternal, that is the consequence of all those who hear and reject the truth of Jesus Christ. People don't like to hear it. People don't like to believe it. Oh, they love to believe in heaven. They don't want anything to do with God while they're alive until they're dead. Then would you bury my relative and say he's in heaven? Well, let me tell you something. If you don't believe he is who he says he is, you're going to die in your sins. And you're condemned already. And that's not why Jesus came. He came to redeem and to save and to be your king. And so the bottom line of all, the foundation of the faith, the Christian doctrine, is who is Jesus Christ to you personally? Hear about the old guy that had trouble hearing even though he wore a hearing aid? Went to his ear doctor. Doctor took the hearing aid out. The guy could hear beautifully. His hearing improved immediately. Why? Because he wore the hearing aid for 20 years in the wrong ear. What a drag, man. What a waste. What have you been listening to? Who are you listening to that has helped form your opinion, your worldview about who Jesus is? You've been listening to your college professors. Some of them are good, some of them aren't. You know what? Your college professors are going to stand before God to give an account. You've been listening to your unsaved friends. Every one of them individually will stand before God one day. Marilyn Manson will stand before God. Every member of the ACLU will stand squarely before God. Every member of the media, every songwriter, every poet will have to stand before God to answer, and so will you. One person said, one of the reasons people find it hard to be obedient to the commands of Jesus Christ is they're uncomfortable taking commands from a stranger. So I ask you, is that what he is to you tonight? A stranger, a good guy, a prophet, whatever title you have relegated him to, he's a stranger to you. He's not your personal Savior who came to redeem you from your sins. Friend, it is time. Now is the time. If you've been sitting on the fence for a long period of time, and you've just been watching, and you have been doing the theology sort of arm's length, third person, Jesus would say to you tonight, who do you say that I am? And your answer, be careful how you answer it, will determine your eternity.
So how would you answer that question? Who do you say that Jesus is? There's so much riding on that answer that we dare not get it wrong. However, if you're unsure about the answer, or maybe you know what you want to answer, but just aren't sure about how to go about it, we'd be happy to help you. Give us a call at 1-800-922-1888. And let us tell you more about how you can know Jesus personally in your life and how you can be sure of your place in eternity. Or if you prefer, you can also find some help when you visit our website and click on the Know God link at connectionradio.org. Now, for those of you who have already answered that question and have made Jesus the Lord of your life, we'd like to invite your help in telling others about that good news. As a member of the Global Connectors, you'll make it possible for these studies and daily broadcasts to be heard by people all over the world. It's not something we can do on our own, which is why we need you. And to show you our appreciation for your help, each month you're a member, we'll also send you a free resource. Find out more about how to sign up for the Global Connectors today when you call 1-800-922-1888 or when you visit connectionradio.org. That's also how you can get in touch with us for a copy of today's teaching. This study may prove useful when trying to talk with others about who Jesus is compared to who people think he is. Pick up a copy today for just $6 when you call 1-800-922-1888. Or if you prefer, you can also write us at P.O. Box 95707, Albuquerque, New Mexico, 87199. But no matter how you get in touch with us, we look forward to hearing from you. And we want to thank you for your help and support of The Connection.
And make the connection.
Next time, Skip Heitzig shares a message called A King Among the Critters, so be sure to join us and find out what that's all about. The Connection is a presentation of Connection Communications, connecting you to God's never-changing truth in ever-changing times.